We're blessed to have Brother Chapman here, and I'm looking forward to all the things he's going to speak to us tonight. And afterwards, we have three candy bars still, so those will be up for grabs. So make sure you take notes, pay attention to your brother, the service is yours. Yes, God bless you.
First of all, I want to thank the church for allowing us to represent you in the country of Australia. You've supported us for a long, long time, and it's the first time I've had the opportunity to come back for quite a while. So we do appreciate you, and we thank God for you. In 1998, we actually went to Australia. There's a church, it's Sherwood Hill Baptist Church. They invited us to come into the country. It's fairly hard to migrate into Australia unless you have something to offer them. There's a church there that invited us to come work with them, and that's how we got into the country. Initially, we were going to stay with them for a year to learn the culture, and they did help us a lot because you can make a lot of mistakes. Even though they speak English, it's a little bit different than American English. So sometimes I share that I can speak three languages now. I can speak American, I can speak Australian, and I can speak West Virginian. Okay, so multilingual. But they really did welcome us there and made us feel at home and helped us so much. And going into 2000 was the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. And they asked, I'd say, an additional year to help with that project. We passed out thousands of New Testaments and gospel tracts, and partly because of the opportunity of doing that, but also because of the gratitude that we felt as a family as they welcomed us into the country. We did that, and it was a successful, we saw a lot of people saved, and it was a good time. But it was also at that time we discovered my wife had thyroid cancer, and we had to make some decisions about what we were going to do. Darwin is fairly remote. It's in the Northern Territory, very top of the country. Now, Australia is kind of funny. As you go north, it gets hotter, all right? So our temperature year-round is 90 to 100. Basically, we have two seasons. It's called the wet and the dry. Wet season, it's 90 to 100, and it's humid. As soon as you step outside, you begin to perspire, and we get tons of rain. It just pours it down. Recently, also, we have quite a few cyclones. We had one go through just a few weeks ago, and some mammoth trees came down. We didn't have any damage on our property, but it's that kind of a weather. Dry season is June, July, August, so if you ever get a chance to come visit us, that would probably be the best time. Again, it gets warm, 90 to 100. Sometimes it drops down to 70, though, and people start to complain. They call it ugly because it gets cold. But there's no humidity and no rain, and it's really a good time. However, you probably need about 3 weeks if you come to see us because you lose 2 days going there and 2 days coming back. And you're welcome to come visit us for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, you have to pay rent, okay? But we do. We love to have visitors, and it is a beautiful country. So, again, Darwin's fairly remote, and we didn't know they didn't have the facilities necessary to treat some of these cancers, so we didn't know exactly what we were going to do. But the pastor we were working with, who invited us to come into the country, his health was failing on him. And so the church asked if I'd stay as an interim pastor. And so we did that for 4 or 5 years. And again, it was an established church. By Australian standards, it was a fairly large church. We had a Christian school. And the ministry there was very similar. The lifestyle was very busy, sort of like here in the States. But we made some dear friends, saw a lot of people saved, and just a really good time of ministry there. And but after about 4 or 5 years, Cindy was declared cancer-free. And so at that time, we was able to come back to the States, do a brief furlough. Went back to Australia, moved right up to Darwin. And honestly, for probably 7 or 8 years, I wondered why. It was just honestly tough. About 7 years ago, we had a number of families coming, but they had a lot of church different backgrounds, and I thought good preaching would get us all unified, but we never were able to get unity. Again, they were good folks, but they had no heart for outreach, and so we just weren't going anywhere. And I began a series on charismatic gifts, and in Australia, a lot of the churches there teach that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. And so one Sunday morning, I'm preaching on that, which for most of us, that's just That's simple stuff, you know. But I addressed that. But that Sunday, we had a young man come. His name was Nathan. He was about 25 years old, a good-looking boy. And the reason he found out about our church is my daughter, Faith, was working with his mother in a daycare. And so he came to our church, and Cindy, my wife, met him at the door, and he said he's looking for Faith. And Cindy's saying, "Are you looking for Faith? Or are you looking for Faith?" And but he came in, and I talked to him for a few minutes before services, and I'm thinking, you know, here I have this message prepared about, do you guys speak in tongues in order to be saved? And that's just not going to be helpful for this young man. You know, in fact, I probably would have changed my message, but I didn't have anything else prepared. So I preached that message, and afterwards, he came up to me, and he was so grateful. He said, "Man, that was so helpful."
Amen.
He had grown up in a charismatic church, never been saved. He's a bodybuilder. He's mixed martial arts. He's been in the ring several times. And he was a male stripper. but he had gotten saved. And so I'd gone back to some of the old churches that he attended to when he was a kid, and they were all trying to force him to speak in tongues. And I shared from the Word of God that tongues have nothing to do with salvation.
Amen.
You know, we can talk about that and other issues, but absolutely nothing. It's through faith in Christ. And he locked onto that. And honestly, I've never met anyone who's more passionate for the Lord than Nathan. I mean, he's just passionate. Sometimes on Friday nights, he'll... we're in this area of Darwin, so he'll go to the city of Darwin. It's Mitchell Street. That's where all the bars are. That's where he used to strip. And on Friday nights at 10 o'clock at night, he goes there and passes out tracts. Pastor, I go sometimes because I'm ashamed not to, you know. But yeah, you know, it's just not my crowd. And but he's passionate, and
amen.
And he witnesses to everybody. And it was through Nathan that we met a girl by the name of Heidi. Heidi is part Aboriginal. She's a kickboxer. She wanted to become a professional fighter. She is filled with anger and wanted to be a fighter. And she got saved. And God changed her
life. Amen.
And then through the two of them, we met a girl by the name of Corinne. Everybody else has left because of the charismatic stuff. They didn't agree with me, and some thought I was too hard, some thought I was too soft, so maybe I was balanced, I don't know, but everybody else is pretty scattered. But we have these new young Christians that are starting to come, and Corinne was a party girl, drugs and alcohol. First three Sundays, all she did was cry, and I thought, God, how can I get through that, that fog, you know? I wasn't able to, but God did.
Amen.
And he saved her. That's he changed wonderful. Her life. And then a boy by the name of Cam, he was a homosexual, he got saved, and he came along. And then we had quite a few young people coming, 25 to 30, and you know how today's society is, a lot of them are living with somebody, things of that nature. So I'm preaching this long series on Samson, and man, I'm hitting it hard. And I'm surprised they're coming, because you know, I'm stay out of the vineyard, you know, and I'm hitting it hard. And we had a young boy come. He's not been saved yet. His name is Aiden. He liked to come because he loves conspiracies, you know, and he's lonely and wanted someone to talk to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'd always go to the gospel, but he's not been saved yet. But because he started coming, his mom started coming. Her name is Andrea. And one Sunday morning, after services, she came up to me and said, "I'd like to be saved." And honestly, my thought was, I'm preaching Samson, you know. But she got saved, and she's about 45 years old, and such a blessing. Steady, has become a good friend of my wife, Cindy. She's the oldest member other than my wife and I, you know. And she's really steady. Then a boy by the name of Reuben came along and got saved, and Reuben's a daredevil. He's jumped out of an airplane some 600 times. He has one of those squirrel suits, and he was living with a girl by the name of Megan. Megan was a really sweet girl, and she started coming along. After about a year, she started coming along with him, and Megan got saved, partly because she wondered what would happen if her parachute didn't open. And I had the privilege of marrying him 2 years ago. Since then, they bought a yacht. And they were going to sail around Australia. But they have a little boy, and he just didn't do well on their yacht. And so they're in the Brisbane area. And on my way to the States, I had a chance to stop by. And they've been gone for probably 6 months or so. And I was simply amazed, especially, you know, Ruben has a passion. He passes tracks to everybody. Amen. You know, he just has a passion. He doesn't have a passion of witnessing that Nathan has. Nathan just talks to anybody, and he loves controversy. You see his Facebook post, you know, I mean, I don't know how he does it, but, you know, no matter what the issue is, he has an opinion, you know, but Ruben just loves to pass out tracks. But I was really amazed at Megan. Before she left, she thanked me, or Cindy and I, for introducing them to God. But she was a little weaker in the faith than Ruben. But you know, 6 months away from me, she just grown leaps and bounds, you know. And it was rude. I couldn't. That's coming out of her mouth, you know. And she's saying some really good stuff. And
wonderful.
And then we had a friend of Nathan, his name was Andrew. He owns a gym. He's a professional bodybuilder. In fact, in his category, it's called Pro Fitness Model. He's the best in Australia. He's appeared on numerous magazines. He's got first place. I won't tell you his last name because sometimes he doesn't have a shirt on. But he just got a new sponsor who's a clothing company, which is real a blessing because they pay him to wear clothes. And he's happy about that, too. And but he has a passion for the Lord. And he has a real depth to him. Now, Nathan has passion. Andrew has passion and discipline. You know, he has a lot of character. And his girlfriend got saved about 6 months ago. Her name is Courtney. Pretty girl. And I'm going to be marrying them end of July. And him and Nathan have taken leadership of the church while I'm away. And Andrew he's doing a really good job. He has a younger brother by the name of Anthony. Now, as a kid, Anthony was kind of pudgy, but he started lifting. Now, he's not in the same category as his brother, okay? Still looks pretty good compared to me, but he's not in the category of his brother. And he was doing 2 days at the gym, and he'd go 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And one morning I went in early. I don't go to the gym very often. You may have noticed that, okay? But I went there, and he'd been coming for a year, and he's kind of quiet. Yeah, but he came up to me, and he was radiant, and he said, "I got it. You know, I understand." And he'd just gotten saved.
Amen.
And he's matured. He learned to play the guitar because my children used to play, you know, did the music for us. And they're all three in the States. Now, our youngest daughter will be coming back in a couple weeks. She'll be back for the summer, which is a real help, musically especially. But about a year ago, I had the opportunity of marrying Andrew and Corinne. And he has the keys to our building. He's such a blessing, so faithful. And he doesn't have all the gifts that his brother Andrew has, but he's consistent, he's faithful, he's helpful. He likes to be in the background, setting up the chairs or doing this and that, and he's just a real blessing. And recently we had in Australia, we celebrate Thanksgiving, of course, but over there, Australians love American Thanksgiving because they've seen it on TV, but they've never experienced it. And so every year, we have an American Thanksgiving. One year, we had 70 people in our house. We have a small house, and we had 70 people. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of scared because my daughter, Faith, she's fairly social, and she invited everybody at work to come to an American Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie. Most Australians, you know, they have pumpkin soup and they roast pumpkin, but they've never had it as a sweet. And so that's a new thing. And turkey, a turkey is about $50, okay? So they don't have much turkey, you know? And so this opportunity to come, and so everybody from her workplace was going to come. And Darwin's fairly rough, you know? It's, you know, 80% of the people, the population of Australia is about 23 million, so we're about the tenth of the size, but the land mass is about the same size as the continental U.S., but 80% live along the coast, and as you go inland, you get into the bush. Once you get beyond the bush, you're into the outback. Not the restaurant, by the way, okay? You're into the outback. Once you get beyond the outback, you're at the Black Stump. Now, that's pretty far out there. When you get that far, you carry your own petrol and water, all right? Petrol would be gasoline. But if you come visit us, don't call it gas, okay? Because they love to make fun of Americans, okay? And they'll make fun of you. Also, it's a serviette, not a napkin. Because if you say napkin, you might end up, they know what you're talking about, but they might give you a diaper instead, okay? But once you get beyond the Black Stump, you get to the Never Never. And that's a Northern Territory. And a while back, there's an advertising logo that said, you'll never, never know if you never, never go. And so that was one of the things that motivated me. For the first 8 years, I said, God, what are you doing? But now we're seeing some results. But as a result of that Thanksgiving meal last year, we had a young boy with his mom and his girlfriend, Brooke, who's not been saved. She comes every Wednesday, every Sunday, but she's not been saved. But Dylan began to come, and he got saved. And he preached last Sunday for me.
Amen.
His mom and his grandmother is coming now. And again, his mom, she has trouble with alcohol. She's not saved. His grandmother's not saved. But they've come for like the last four or five Sundays, and they're becoming more consistent. And so we're praying for their salvation. And recently we had a young man by the name of Luke. Again, he was a homosexual. He's been saved. He has a heart, but he's not consistent yet. So if you'll pray for him. And we have a young man by the name of Maddie who's coming. He's probably 30 years old. And he knows Reuben. They went to school together. And Reuben's really encouraging him. And he's visited some other churches. And he says, but you don't get Bible there. You get a verse, and then they just talk about their experiences. And we still believe the Bible.
Amen.
And so pray for Maddie. I'm taking the Bible back. It's hard to find Bibles in Darwin. And so I'm taking the Bible back that I'll be giving to him. And I'd like to actually also pray for a boy by the name of David Hun. He's probably 20 years old. He's Cantonese and really struggles with depression. He's been coming. But it seems like it takes a long time in witnessing to people in Australia. Mateship is really an important factor there, building that relationship. You read about the Australian explorers, so many of them died because once you get in the outback, honestly, there's nothing. We only have one highway that goes up to the center of the country. It's called the Stuart Highway. It's just two lanes. You won't see anything except every 2 or 3 hours. You'll see a roadhouse. There'll be a petrol station, a pub, and a little motel, and that's about all you'll see for 2 days. There's not much out there until you get to Alice Springs, and then you got that, and then the rest of the way up. Australia's home. We really like it there. Does anyone have any questions? By the way, I'll preempt that by saying I have a unique gift. I usually don't preach long, but it seems like it, okay? So, if you have some questions about Australia, the animals or our ministry or the country itself, sir?
You was talking about the wet season and the dry season. And I was talking to you earlier about the bugs. I don't like spiders. You're talking about spiders are huge. So is there a season where spiders are not around? It's like a come in that season.
Now, spiders are worse in Sydney. We were in the Sydney area for about 7 years, and that's where you get the funnel webs. The funnel webs are a big, hairy spider. They're very poisonous, and they have fangs that can actually pierce shoe leather. Now, you're not going to see many. They're not common, but they are around. You'll see lots of huntsmen. The huntsmen are big spiders. They're big and hairy and scary-looking, but they're not going to hurt you. Darwin, we don't have a lot of the big spiders, so that's the good news. Yeah. The bad news is we have snakes.
I'm not scared of snakes.
I could. We We recently, eggs are like $4 or $5 a dozen there. So, you know, we have a small chicken house, and I let them roam free once they get a little bit bigger. But we bought some baby chicks, some silkies, you know, the funny hairdos,
yeah.
And some guinea hens. The reason we got the guinea hens because they kill snakes once they get older. And then we just bought some regular small chickens. And we had a couple visit. The girl, her name is Beck, and she's been saved, no doubt about it, but she's made some wrong choices. And so her and her partner and their little one, they have a year old little boy, Cindy, they came over to the house, and our folks liked my wife. Yeah, they like her better than me. I don't understand it. But anyways, they came over and visiting, and Cindy thought she'd take them, the little boy, out to see the chicks. And there's about an 8-foot python in the chicken house. And he'd eaten two of her chickens. You know. One day, we left the door open. We have a little granny flat. That's pretty common in Australia. And that's where my office is. And we left the door open this much. And the next day I came in, and there's a 6-foot python in the house. It took me a week to get it out, because it kept going behind my bookcase. So that's sort of watch and pray, you know. Sometimes we'll see him on the window, knocking, you're rattling against the window. So we do have snakes. However, we did have a young two guys come over. They were with us for 2 weeks, and they wanted to find some snakes. Every night, they'd go out looking for snakes. They would lift up rocks, and they were hunting all over the place, and they didn't see one. The night I took them to the airport, when I came back, guess what I saw in the driveway? A snake. So if you want to see a spider or a snake, you won't. Maybe. Also, we do have kangaroos, and they taste pretty good, but you can't overcook them. And there's like 100 variety of the kangaroo. Some are only about 6 inches long or high, and some are 6 foot. We have the 3-footers mostly in our area because it's so hot. We also have a lot of saltwater crocodiles in our area, so you got to be careful where you go in the water or camp, because saltwater crocodiles, they can get 30 foot long. Average is probably 15, but they can get really big, and they're aggressive. And if you're camping and you go to the water in the same place at the same time, they will actually stop you. And so you do have to be careful about those things. Then we have the freshwater crocodile, and they're only a meter or so, 3 foot. And they're not going to bother you unless you mess with your young. And then they'll bite you and it will hurt, but it's not going to kill you. But Australia, we have beautiful birds, parrots. Yeah. You'll see sometimes in our yard 100 cockatoo, you know. And then we also got the black ones. And so there's a wide variety of birds. So if you like birds and things like that, there's all kinds of different birds. Lizards. The only time I came in the house, and it looked like I had, what do you call those ponytails? You know, rat tail. Because there's a lizard sitting on my head. You would think I would have felt it, you know. I had this long ponytail, and Cindy said, "Get out of here!" You know? You get used to those kind of things. You know, I'm an Ohio boy. I grew up in Seville, you know, about 30 minutes away. But it takes a little while. When we first saw those big spiders, they scared us. But now, yeah, you get used to it. Any other, sir?
Yeah, in Australia, you have different nationalities, you know, like you can go from southern Ohio, I mean, from the southern part of our country to like the West Coast, and you come across all kinds of people. And I heard that, if my memory serves me right, they had a lot of problems with immigration. Is that a problem in your area?
Yes, sir. The church we was in Sydney, we had like 22 different nationalities in the church. And that was interesting because, again, I'm an Ohio boy, and I went to Massanutten Temple, basically middle-class people. And we didn't, at that time, now it's changed since I've been away. I've been gone over 20 years. You had the properness of the English. And I have a hard time pleasing them because even when I try to be eloquent, someone says, "It looks like I'm waxing elephants," and it's just, you know. There's sometimes you need to be dignified, but I have a hard time being dignified. I try to be, you know, weddings and funerals and those kind of things. You need to be dignified, but that's not my gift. And so English, we have the Dutch, which are very strong, generally speaking, You have the Filipino who can say pastor like nobody in the world. So we do have all those nationalities. We do have, there is quite a bit of racial tension now. We have a lot of boat people trying to come into the country illegally. That's been closed down for at least temporarily. They're in, and I don't know the answer to that. You know, I know people are coming from some really horrible places, right, and they want to come here for a better life. And we also know there's some people who want to come here to destroy life. And so I don't know the answers to all those questions, but we face those same things in Australia. Australia is pretty much, it's becoming more and more like America. They're losing a lot of their quaint expressions because of American television. You know, good day, mate. No flies on me. Bob's your uncle. No worries. She'll be right. We're losing that, especially with the younger generation, because of American television and stuff of that nature. We just passed, this past year, the same sex for marriage and things. And that could be a real problem with hate speech and things of that nature. I don't know what's going to happen, but it seems as though the religious freedom may be curtailed because of that legislation, which, you know, you're facing here. So
yeah. One more. You know, my memory serves me correct. Australia used to be a place where they'd send all the prisoners and stuff, and never having been there or never saying much of it, the mental outlook is it's a real rough place with real rough people. Is crime rampant there, or is that any different than the United States?
Now, we live out of town, and so, you know, we have a 5-acre block. So where we live, we're relatively safe. In town, it's a lot of break-ins and things of that nature. Having said that, we don't have the population of America. And so even though percentage-wise the crime would be very similar, it's not as much because we don't have the same population. The Aboriginals, they'd be similar to the American Indians, sort of. They have a lot of trouble with alcohol, petrol sniffing. In the communities, really, there's nothing there. And there's no hope. There's really no job. There's no prospects. And so young kids will start sniffing gasoline and stuff of that nature. So they have a lot of trouble with that and alcohol. They also have a lot of health problems, probably inherited. You know, and so when they come into the city and do the McDonald's and all the sugar, they have a lifespan of the typical Aboriginal is probably 50. You know, the typical Australian would probably be 70 or 80, but some of those are because of the choices that they make in health and also because of the physical makeup.
One more time.
Okay, I can tell you. You really believe me when I said that. You guys want me to preach, okay?
Well, the only thing about it is, you know, the only thing we know is what we have the opportunity. We don't get you very often, so I got to take advantage of that. But that being said, when you said it was kind of a rough go as far as the gospel goes, is that something that would be characteristic of the whole country? I mean, as far, you know, because you hear how in some countries they're open to the gospel and people are responding. And I'm just wondering if that's just a locale that you're in or that's widespread?
In general, Australians are much more slower to respond. On their coat of arms, they have two animals. They have the kangaroo and the emu. And the reason they chose those animals is because neither of them go backwards. Australians, they're known to be laid back. You have no worries, she'll be right. All those expressions there, but you can't push them and you can't force them. So relationships are important. And it seems, at least by my experience, that if they don't have the church background. Now, historically, you know, the Methodists did a good job. The Methodists have now joined the Presbyterian and Episcopalian and a couple other churches, and now they're called the United Church. And the United Church has really gone to the social gospel, they're more concerned about the environment than salvation.
Right.
Now, there's still people saved within that movement, but as a movement, they, you know, they approve of homosexuality and all those things. So Filipinos down south were a lot more receptive than the typical Australian. What's happening in our church right now is really unusual because those guys are, well, first of all, they're young.
Yeah.
But they've done all the world had to offer, and they're looking for something real. And that's kind of funny because, you know, I'm 60 years old, and you see me sitting here. That's not my crowd. Now, I've always enjoyed that crowd. I was a youth pastor for 14 years, and I do play tennis with a bunch of them once a week, and we play some squash, and the bodybuilding guy wants me to go swimming with him because he's concerned for my health, and I play squash with him. But can you, you know, here's this guy, he's at the top of his, you know, he goes to bodybuilding competitions to judge, and people listen to him because he's the best in his field. And I don't know why, but he wants to hang around with me. If you get to know me, you know I don't have a lot of personality or anything else, and I'm not being modest there. I'm just telling you the truth, but, you know, so I can't take credit for what's happened. A lot of it goes to Nathan, you know, and we've been there to nourish and to care and give guidance and structure, but it's God.
Amen.
And we appreciate you standing by us faithful, because for a while we sort of got out of contact with a lot of people because I didn't have anything good to say. But I've gotten better, Pastor. You know, I'm getting pretty good now about writing those letters, you know, and staying in contact. But yeah, generally speaking, there's probably 200 to maybe 300 independent Baptist churches in the entire country, maybe 10 or so, that would be over 100, one or two, that would be 300. The average size church would probably be 30 to 40 independent Baptists. Now, the Charismatics, they do have some large churches, but independent Baptists are fairly small.
All right, you said there was like 23 million people in Australia?
Yes, sir.
So out of 23 million people, just by estimate, how many people are truly saved, like no gospel or...
20 years ago, I read a statistic that said only 2% of the people go to church anywhere on any given Sunday. And that was one of the things that motivated me. God used my heart to go to Australia. I really don't know what the percentage would be. Australia, one of the reasons, they don't have a felt need. You know, like in some countries, they don't have anything, and so they're looking for something. Australia is a beautiful country. It's world class. You know, the pay, they get $25, that's minimum wage an hour. Of course, you know, a house is going to... If you're going to rent a house, it's going to cost you probably $500 a week, you know, so you're going to need to make that $25 an hour. But it's a first-class country. Australians love to travel. After a year of work, you get 4 weeks paid vacation. They call it holiday. After about 10 years, you get 6 months off and long service leave. So, you know, it's a nice place. They have a good medical system. Now, they have two tiers. They have social medicine, which is okay if you have a broken arm or something, you have to go to the emergency room. But if you have to have an elective surgery, like my son had to have knee surgery, since we have insurance, we were able to get that right away. If we wouldn't have had the insurance, we would have had to wait 2 years. But because we have insurance, we're able to go to the top of the list. Wow. You know, they have private health care, and so they have a private hospital.
So, last question.
That's what he said too.
This is the last one. You know, in your church, you was talking about all these bodybuilders. Is there anybody out of shape?
Me. Yeah. You're looking at it, brother.
Are there any denominations or other churches, maybe independent, like a community or Bible church, that would actually preach the gospel? Are there any other churches represented that do that?
Within the country, yes, and even in Darwin. Now, we have two American Independent Baptist churches are men. One, they're both in the Catherine area. That's about 3 hours south. Catherine is in the middle of nowhere. But a group of people have come from New South Wales. His name is Phil, and he came to Catherine because he loves to hunt. All right, and you can hunt water buffalo, camels. They're not indigenous animals, and so you're allowed to hunt them anytime. And he just loves hunting. And so he came there. He has a business. And some people came from Queensland. And so a group of maybe 20 people came together in Catherine for the purpose of starting church. And a young man, he came to Australia, worked with us for a little while, then he came back to raise his support, and he's in Catherine. And he's taller than me. And his name is... I'll tell you after church, okay. But he's doing a really good job. And he has a good nucleus of people. And then there's Patrick Bowers. He's from Pennsylvania. He has Aboriginal work. And again, he's doing a good job. Now, in our area, there's a couple community churches. We may not agree on what Bible day is or this person or that, but they would preach salvation by grace. Mm-hmm. I've never, I have fellowship with Justin Stanley, okay, and Patrick a little bit, but they're 3 hours away, so sure. We don't get together very often, but we're of like faith. But mostly I have fellowship with my men. We haven't had the opportunity. When I was in Sydney, I had the opportunity to go to fellowship meetings because there's a lot of, people in the area. And it was a larger church, and people could take my place and stuff like that. We have a lot more resources. Where we've been before, I was never able to get away. Now I do. I mentioned to you, Pastor, we have 6 young men who are preaching while I'm away. 2 of them will be the first time, and that's just exciting,
Amen.
I wish I could be there to hear them. We're pretty happy. And again, my offer is sincere. I know it's a long way. It takes 30 to 40 hours to get there with your layovers, and it's fairly expensive. But if you ever do get a chance, it's a beautiful country. We'd love to have you. And our people, preacher, would love to meet you. When we have a Christian come in, because all they get to hear is me, and themselves now. But it's nice to hear somebody else say the same thing differently.
Amen.
It just reinforces it. And so... anyone else?
What kind of facility do you have?
Pardon me?
What kind of facility do you have? Do you have a building?
No, sir. We rent a school, mm-hmm. and that's working well for us. It's not too expensive. And then on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study at our house. We have 10 to 15. And again, that seems to be working well for us. In Australia, I don't know if you do it here, but on Sundays, you always have, they call it a cuppa, right? So that would be like a cup of coffee or tea with a biscuit, which is a cookie, okay? So don't talk to them about biscuits and gravy because you're going to gross them out, right? They're just not going to get it because a biscuit's a cookie, and they're not going to, biscuits and gravy just don't make it there, all right? We start a little bit later because several of them are in the mixed martial arts and they have some training. And so we start at 7:30. We usually finish at 8:39. And sometimes they'll stay till 11. Come on, guys. But they, one day I was there and Andrew, he is a brand new believer, and Nathan, they were talking about the deity of Christ from the Gospel of John.
Amen.
One day, Reuben was, Nathan, he's always talking. He doesn't believe, anybody flat earth here? He's not flat earth, but he loves to argue, okay? Yeah. And Reuben was talking about reading, an old timer. He's reading, Samuel Johnson, I think, was the name. Old time Puritan, I don't read old time Puritans. I had trouble reading Spurgeon, So they got some real depth to them. They're good, you know, you can tell. We appreciate it. Three of them came over Wednesday, which was yesterday there. Okay, today is Thursday now. It's Thursday morning over there. Three of them came over because they had a day off and they mowed my yard. That's pretty sweet.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Do you have family here now?
Yes. My three children are in the States currently, and my oldest, she was at Pensacola Christian, and she was also at Mass and Baptist College, and she met at Mass a boy from Poland, John Glass is his name, Glass family, and they're married. He was a Marine, now he's in the police academy, and they live in Pensacola. It's kind of scary. He can't wait to arrest somebody. He's just, hey, oh, I can't. He just, no. My soul. And then my son wants to be a teacher. He wants to come back to Australia and teach. And my daughter wants to go to music therapy. She's pretty talented musically. And they're going to school in West Virginia. They were in Pensacola for a while, but Pensacola is a good school, but it's so big, and they got lost, and Faith got real sick. And there's nothing worse than having your child sick when you're, you know, in Australia. Yeah. And so Faith has had some, especially in Pensacola, she's doing much better now. And because it's such a smaller school, they're getting a lot more personal attention, and they're doing much better. So. But Faith leaves on the 7th to go back to Australia. Because she'll make $25 an hour, you know, working in a coffee shop as a barista. And so that will pay for her ticket and give her some spending money and help, you know, with her fare fees.
And you're here how long?
I'm here for another 3 weeks. As Pastor mentioned, I came back because my mom, she's lost 30 pounds and they didn't know what had happened. So I'm sort of waiting to see how she does. If she's fine, I'll be leaving in 3 weeks. But they have found cancer, and we just don't know how fast it will progress. So if it comes rapid, I'll stay around for a little while. If not, I'll go back and make plans on coming back when, because I want to. I've been gone 20 years, and my sisters, you know, I told my one sister, you know, they've done all the work for the last 20 years, and my sister said it's not been work, you know. But I want to help carry that, and my sisters. My mom loves her right now because she can walk better than all four of her kids, you know. My sister's health's not very good, and I have three of them, and they're all in the area, so that's nice, and they help a lot. But I won't be here to help in the last 7 months. Anyone else? Anybody come visit? Anybody getting ready to graduate from high school? Great graduating. Anybody got a birthday coming up? Great. All right. Give yourself a birthday gift, all right?
That's what my daughter, she's got today's birthday.
Congratulations. I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles, last chance. And remember, I warned you, okay? To Psalm 147. And every time I look at this passage of Scripture, it becomes a little more sweet. And a little more meaningful. Psalm 147. The psalmist writes this: "Praise you, the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is coming." You could really just stop there, couldn't you? Just like I might, and but we're not going to, all right? But you could. He goes on and says, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem," and again. The last 3 years or so, it's been God. You know, I can't take credit for that. Okay. The Bible says he gathers together the outcast of Israel. I'm glad he cares for people. In verse 3, he says he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Mm-hmm. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names. In verse 5, he says, "Great is the Lord, and of great power his understanding is infinite." And I have a couple notes, so I'll give you the dates. All right, 150 BC, the Greek astronomer, I think he'd call his name Hirtippus, he counted 1,026 stars. Okay, I have no idea how you do that, okay? Wait, did I miss him? I don't know, but he counted 1,026 stars. 150 years later, a guy by the name of Ptolemy, he counted 156. So maybe it was a clearer night, or he was on a mountain, but he got 30 extra stars. In 1608, with the invention of the telescope, Galileo, he counted 30,145 stars. Today, with the modern telescopes, we know that we don't know how many stars there are. There's billions. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, in 33, verse 22, the host of heaven cannot be numbered. We have no idea how many stars there are. But God does.
Amen.
He telleth the number of the stars. That's pretty impressive. But then, notice what it says. He calleth them all by their names. Pastor, you have six children, one on the way, is that right?
That's right.
Let me ask the boys, does your dad ever get your names mixed up? Does he usually start at the top? Yeah, you're the one I'm talking to. Anybody else do that? Now, I have three kids, right? And Joy gets upset when I call her Faith, right? And Faith really gets upset when I call her Joy. And Caleb really gets upset. I mean, I have three kids, and I can't keep their names straight, all right? The Bible says God not only knows how many stars there are, but he knows every one of their names. That's amazing. And he reminds us that great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We have an awesome God. He's a powerful God. He's a great God. And in the context of the greatness of God and the power and the knowledge and the awesomeness.
Amen.
That sound good? Okay. Of God, he tells us in verse 3 that he healeth the broken in heart. And so even though we have a God who knows everything, who's powerful, who, again, the Bible says, who's great, his understanding is infinite, he cares for us, and he healeth the broken in heart. So perhaps tonight, there's someone here who has a broken heart. I know there is. I listened to your prayer request. So many needs, serious needs. I read your list. A lot of your hearts, I'm sure, are breaking. Some of you have sickness. Some of you are facing surgery. Some of you have loved ones who are facing surgery. I want to encourage you. We have a great God. We have a powerful God. We have an awesome God. And the Bible says he can heal the broken in heart. Maybe there's some who has a broken heart because of sorrow. The doctor called this morning, and initially he wasn't able to talk to me. You know how that confidentiality works. And he's supposed to talk to my sister, but my sister has some real health problems, and so she's not able to carry on with that responsibility right now. And my mom gave him verbal permission to talk to me, and he explained what was going on. And then it became my responsibility to call my sisters. And we cried. You know, mom may live for 3 years. She may outlive all of us. You know, she's walking better than all of us right now. But perhaps there's some here, maybe recently you've lost someone you love. Or you're facing that. I want to encourage you. We have an awesome God. We have a powerful God. We have a great God. And we have a God that can heal the brokenhearted. And some of us, perhaps we have some loved ones that have gotten away from the Lord. Maybe a mom or dad, or a brother or sister, or a son and daughter. You know, none of us are perfect parents, but you tried to raise them right, but they're making some wrong choices, and you know what's going to happen. You know the direction. You know they're going to get hurt. And maybe breaking your heart. Or maybe some things that you thought were going to happen in your life just hasn't happened. Some things that you dreamed about, some things that you'd hoped for, didn't take place, and looks like they may never take place. I want to encourage you. In verse 5, he reminds us that great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. We have a great God. The Bible says not only does he know how many stars there are, which none of us know, no scientists know, they're numerous, but God knows. And he knows each of their names. By the way, Spurgeon said this, if we have a God who knows the names of all the stars, you can be assured that he knows your name.
Amen.
The Bible says he cares for us. In fact, the Bible tells us that he has the very hairs on our head numbered.
Right.
And I got most of you beat because he has both my name, okay? you don't have to number, all right? But we have a God who cares. And the Bible encourages us to take our burdens and cast them on him, for he cares for us. In the book of Corinthians, the Bible says that he's the God of all comfort. And so if you have a broken heart, some things that have happened haven't turned out the way you wanted. Someone you love may be facing a disease or something of that nature. I want to encourage you that we have a God who can heal a broken heart. The songwriter said it this way. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? And are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus lay them down. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, broken hearts, wounded lives. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrows into joy. The Bible says we have a great God. We have a powerful God. We have an awesome God. We have a God who not only knows how many stars there are, which is amazing, but he knows every one of their names. And we have a God who the Bible says can heal broken heart.
Amen.
George Mueller said this, it's amazing what God can do with a broken heart, provided we give him all the pieces. We appreciate you folks, and we do appreciate the opportunity representing you in Australia, and what God has done in the last couple of years, you share in that. And Andrew, he's funny, you know, because he has sponsors, you know, and they pay him to do YouTube clips, you know, so they do some funny stuff, you know, in the gym. So he advertises the gym, you know, bring your towel to the gym, you know, and they do some weird stuff. The other day he did one on a backflip, you know, he's never done a backflip. And so He did his first backflip, and he did it, and it was disgusting, you know. Landed on his feet, made me sick, you know. But you'll meet him one day, because you have a part in what's happened in his life. And Courtney, again, she's a young Christian, but she said, man, it's so exciting because, you know, before everybody would talk to me, and now I'm talking to people and witnessing it. And you have a part, and we thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Well, brother, appreciate the message, and I thrill in hearing what the Lord's doing there. That is wonderful. It's exciting. That is fruit. So thankful for that. Let's keep Brother Chapman in our prayers and make it a serious matter of prayer. It's wonderful how the Lord's using his work there, and the faithfulness is really paying off. And praise God for it. That's wonderful. Let's have some questions. Hopefully you paid attention. Brother, that did not seem long. It was a lesson. All right, let's do some easy ones right off the top. And you have to give me both answers here. According to Psalm 174, verse 4, what are the two things that God can do with the stars? Or he knows about the stars. Samuel.
He knows their numbers and he knows their names.
Good. We've got Milky Way, Take Five, and Twix. Now, there's no left Twix in here.
I understand that.
Okay. He's a right Twix kid. That's why he shot his hand up right off the bat. Okay, what can God do to the broken heart? Mary.
He can heal it.
He can heal it. You want to take five or Milky Way? Take that right to Miss Mary? Good. All right, one last one. You're serious? The kangaroos are 6 inches?
They're mouse kangaroos? Some live in trees, some live in rocks, and they just live up in the others.
Can you own one and keep it as a pet?
You can if you're living on a station, you know, without a problem.
I'd like to have one of those. That sounds really neat. Okay, so 6 inches is the smallest. 6 feet are the biggest. What did he say is the average in Darwin? Brother Allen.
3 foot.
3 foot, wonderful. Milky Way okay?
Yep. All right.
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks again for coming tonight. I'm sure your heart was filled, as mine was too. It's exciting. It's wonderful. And you know, to see the irreligious, you know, the unconverted, the, you know, folks who weren't raised looking like, sounding like, talking like Christians be converted and on fire for the Lord, that is so thrilling. I love that. Praise God for it. Keep Brother Chapman and his family in your prayers. And listen, we love you. Good to see you out on a Wednesday night. I encourage you to be here Sunday, be in prayer for our revival coming up next week. I'm excited about all these things. Look forward to seeing you. Be in your place as best you can. God bless you. You are dismissed.